and Haywood Mall. Whether it's a diamond for her, a watch for him, or maybe something special for an upcoming graduate, no matter the occasion, Reed's will dazzle you. Endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man. Wally over there, Reed Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Grab your glove, load up the family, and be ready to catch all the homers and grand slams about to fly out of the J.B. Red Owen Sports Complex in Easley. Starting July 28th, the best 13- to 16-year-old baseball players in the world are coming to Easley. Only one team will claim the title of world champions, and since tickets are only $5, you and your family can be there to see it. Go to slbws.org for more information. And don't forget to bring your glove. You'll need it.
That was producer Ramona. That's well done, Ramona.
Thank you.
I like that. You know, the voice has been giving me a little trouble since Saturday.
I can sense that.
And so all the yelling that's going to be done today, like you Florida State nitwits on the text line, yeah, is going to be done by Ramona.
So
she'll be the road rage official yeller today. And we will endeavor to get through this 4 hours and these 4 hours. And
so do I just all of a sudden start yelling at
you? Can yell
at, like,
I mean, there's always reasons to yell at Florida State people, like this guy who thinks Florida State's going to finish second, and maybe better, insinuating that Florida State might be better than Clemson. You know who doesn't agree with you? Well, everybody, including Vegas.
Well,
including Vegas. Nobody agrees with you.
43 or something?
I mean, hey, look, dude. The last time we saw you, you were losing to Boston College by 30. So please, just save it, all right? Win something that matters, all right? Listen, little steps, baby steps. You need a lot of baby steps to get back to relevancy. We have a ton to get to today. We're going to go over Dabo Swinney's golf outing. I took notes. I thought Team WCCP did a nice job. There were some questions that weren't asked that I would like to have heard asked. I'll tell you what those were. We'll go over what was said, though, what it really means. We'll try and break it down for you here on America's Most Informative Sports Talk Show. And also, I have questions today.
And questions about
right.
what?
Well, the ACC Media Day's underway. Kelly and Kwok are up there covering
Correct.
That in fine fashion. I have a most significant question for every team. Now, look, with every team, I actually have like 5 or 6 questions, but I wanted to narrow it to one, and so I have endeavored to do that for every team. I have what I believe is the key question for every team. I got to listen on my way in today, and I thought that I thought Kelly and Kwok did a nice job. I thought the interviews were interesting. I did hear Brett Friedlander. You know, there's always a red pen. I'm sorry. I heard Brett Friedlander say that Virginia Tech was his pick in the Coastal because they have so many guys back. Huh? What?
Why? They lose guys? I don't remember.
They lost their whole defense.
I thought you said something about that.
I mean, they lost their entire defense.
Back in the back of my head there somewhere.
Entire defense. So I'm not sure what guys we're talking about. And then he said that he thinks North Carolina has a chance to be pretty good. I hear that every year. Every year about North Carolina. I'm sorry. Do you know that North Carolina has had the last ranked run defense in the ACC for 5 consecutive seasons? Imagine that. Imagine such a thing. Your run defense.
I can't.
Last in the ACC for 5 consecutive seasons, and you have a chance to be pretty good. Okay. Well, what you really have a chance to do is lose every game. Now, look,
they can only go up.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to it. Yeah, you know, again, 3 games last year, and I don't see much avenue for improvement. And Larry Fedora's actually trending on Twitter, or at least.
Why is he looking for a house?
At least he was. No, Larry Fedora says that America is going down because football's under attack. Now, you know, the strange thing is that in an odd sense, some of what Fedora said is actually correct. But the problem is that the whole world views him as a kook, or at the very least a kook in waiting.
What's a kook in waiting?
Well, he'll be free to explore the full depth of his kookdom as soon as the season's over. He can go join an artist colony or something because
he'll be lounging.
He won't be coaching football after this year unless it's, you know, with Nick Saban or something as one of these offensive assistants.
Minions.
I mean, somewhere like that, because he's not going to be coaching at North Carolina this year after the season. I don't know where this stuff about North Carolina has a chance to be pretty good. I think I heard that last year too. And again, last year was 3 wins, and they have no chance to be pretty good. None. They have a chance to win 4. And Virginia Tech's going to be right there with them. Tech just says North Carolina may not win a conference game this year. They may not. It's going to be a long season. I mean, I don't even know if they know who their quarterback's going to be yet. But we will get to all of that in due time. Also, on the Road Rage countdown to a national champion, Team 38 will be unveiled today. We're going to probably have to play catch-up at some point regarding that. It may be the next couple days. It may be Thursday and Friday. It won't be today, given the scope of things that we have to get involved with today. So, and by the way, I have a lot of other little stories as well, a little funny little things. One from our friends at Walmart.
A Walmart story?
Yeah, because Walmart had a great tweet back at a Tennessee fan, and we'll get
Walmart tweeted. They did.
They did.
Awesome.
We'll get to that a little later today, but we'll start today's proceedings with some discussion of what happened at Dabo Swinney's golf outing. And I listened to all of the interviews. I actually listened last night and took notes on it. You can find every hour of Kwok, Kelly, and Brad's work from yesterday on the Out of Bounds page on our WCCP website. But I listened to it last night, and I found it all interesting. You know, again, it's a fascinating staff, and you can see some of the reasons which these guys are chosen. They're all master communicators. And communication, the ability to recruit, is the lifeblood of college football. And it's a young staff. And a lot of these guys, let me tell you something. I wrote on Twitter last night and listened to the interviews that, you know, it won't be long before Tony Elliott is a head coach somewhere. And he won't be the only one. Dabo Swinney's coaching tree is going to grow dramatically based on this staff that's in place right now. Because a whole bunch of these cats are going to go on to be head coaches. I mean, Brent Venables is going to go on to be a head coach at some point. Maybe not immediately. And Tony Elliott, Jeff Scott. I think Brandon Streeter someday will be head coach. A lot of these guys are going to go on to be head coaches. And we'll talk about what was said, what it really means. Everyone seemed to be in a very good mood. Do you remember, Ramona, the last time we had Tony Elliott on? I think Coach Elliott spent like 40 minutes with us. He was terrific.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
outgoing.
Yeah, absolutely.
His personality is what really shocked me, because I always thought of him as sort of a quiet, reserved type, and he was anything but. And again, in this interview that Kelly Kwok and Brad did with him, he was very outgoing. Look, there are a lot of things to like about him as head coaching material. So, you know, get the most out of him now, because I don't think he's going to be here long. I think he's on the rise with a bullet. I mean, I think he's headed right up the charts, and you're going to see him get some opportunities fairly soon, especially if Clemson keeps functioning as they are. And I don't see any reason to think that they will not be. Thank you, Brian. And by the way, thanks to all the people on Twitter who appreciate the fact that we're back. Thank you all. And I can't name you all by name because there were a lot of you, but thank you. I appreciate it. I want to start with the offensive line play and the interview with Robbie Caldwell. You know, I think it's obvious the staff feels good about the offensive line. This despite the season-ending performance against Alabama, which was less than efficient. Not this offensive line's finest moment, but it's still one game, and it's against a team that was the best, arguably the best defensive team in the country. So, and that whose defensive front was really tough. There are some reasons for that. You know, it was a particular matchup thing. Otherwise, this offensive line, for the most part, did fairly well. So I can see the reason for optimism. So much continuity coming back, that matters. An offensive line that really has some depth coming back, that matters. Robbie Caldwell was pretty excited about his bunch. There was a couple things here. There was a question asked about Jackson Carman. I don't know, maybe Brad asked it, regarding you know, his situation, his weight. And Robbie Caldwell indicated, you know, he came in sort of out of shape, and that he needed to get into college football playing condition. Well, if you remember, Ramona, when Jackson Carman was made the switch from Ohio State to Clemson, and people were talking about, oh, he's going to come right in, and could he grab the left tackle spot right away, and all this stuff. And if you remember what I said, is he's going to have to redefine his body. And I also said that I wouldn't be surprised if he stays heavy, that he slides inside and never plays tackle, that he becomes more of a mauler type at a guard position. I don't know, but I got the feeling that in listening to Robbie Caldwell, that Jackson Carman is a long way off. That was my feeling. And listen to his answers. I didn't get the feeling you're going to be seeing Jackson Carman this year. And I don't think you will. I don't think you'll see Jackson Carman. Now, look, the new rules regarding redshirting and playing time may allow for that. And maybe at some point, you know, you'll see a little bit of him, but you're not going to see a lot of him. I don't think. You're not going to see him on any regular basis. I think Jackson Carman's more part of the future than he is part of the immediate or the present with this football team. I just think he just needs to redefine his body. And again, long term, You know, he's a big man who's a really good athlete, but his weight is going to determine where he plays, as I've said all along. Going all the way back to when we did the commitment, the signing day special, and I analyzed all these players. I mean, I told you then what was going to happen with Jackson Carman, and I think that's exactly the case. And right now, I think he projects more as a guard. Now, if he can get down to 330 pounds, 325 pounds, and redefine his body, then I think he can play a left tackle spot after Mitch Hyatt is gone. But if he's going to float up at 340 or anything above that, even redefined, I think you're talking about a guard. So we'll see. The one thing I would like to have heard asked, I would like to have heard with specifics about the right side of the offensive line. Now, it was addressed to a degree, at least questions about Pollard were addressed, and Robbie Caldwell indicated that, you know, his body type was moving towards a guard slot, and they feel that, you know, sliding him inside, they can get the most out of him. But, you know, this also brings up the issue of Ankrum. And I think that this is one of the questions with this football team. And I don't think there are a lot of questions with this football team. But on a list, on a short list of questions that I would have about this year's Clemson football team. And when I say questions, I mean concerns. And again, everybody has concerns. I mean, I think Clemson's concerns are less significant than anyone else's in the country, including Alabama's. If I started listing concerns, I can promise you this, right off the top of my head, I can go through all the top teams in the country and I can give you what their chief concerns are. With Clemson, I have about, I don't know, four or five things that are concerns, but none of them are extreme concerns. They're almost forced concerns because I have to find something. Whereas even with Alabama, I don't have to search to find what Alabama's concern is. It's not quarterback. Alabama's concern is that defensive secondary. I don't have to search for that. And when I say concern, I mean they lost the whole group. And even for a team like Alabama, that matters. That matters. So they have a fairly glaring and significant concern. Clemson's concerns are less tangible. You know, again, you almost have to sort of scout for them. But I think it's fair to suggest that neither Pollard nor Ankrum had great years last year. This after both having promising years the year before, and yet these are two players who played as young players. And that's a really good sign. That the fact that they played early is a really good sign in terms of their expectations. But I thought they both regressed a little bit last year. And as such, I think the tinkering began in terms of how it's going to play out. And this is just how it is now. We don't know for certain if that's how it'll play out in the end. But I think going into the year, again, if you're trying to find an area of concern, you know, I know that the offensive line was spoke of glowingly. It is every year, quite frankly. And most years, there are still areas of that offensive line play that wind up being less than ideal. And I have a few questions. I want to see Mitch Hyatt be the best that Mitch Hyatt can be. I want to see him take what he did as a freshman. I want to see a bigger, stronger version of Mitch Hyatt become more physically aggressive and more dominant. I want to see that. I also want to see the right side of this offensive line, Pollard and Ankrum, live up to what it looked like they might become 2 years ago, not to be mired in whatever issues they had a year ago. I think those two guys have been looking for a fit. You know, again, 2 years ago, national championship game, Ankrum actually wound up playing some left tackle in relief of Hyatt, got beat on the first snap, and then played better from that point on. Ankrum isn't built like a tackle, but he's athletic and he has good feet and he's a very versatile guy. So I want to see how the fit of Pollard at guard and Ankrum at right tackle works? Are those the permanent answers? Are those guys who are going to basically anchor those two positions all year? And if they are, how does the right side of that offensive line play? I think that's a question. And you know, I think it'll be interesting to watch that side of the line play during the course of the year. We'll take a quick break. Before we get a break, let me quickly tell you about Harry's. What I love most about Harry's is the flexible, soft hinge glides right across the contours of my face. There are never any cuts, burns, any of that stuff. For a limited time. Oh, and by the way, the eucalyptus shave cream is thick, luxurious, makes you feel alive. It's not like that whipped cream-like stuff they sell at the store. For a limited time only, new customers can save big on a Harry's shave set with me at harrys.com. Get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping. Harry's founders were tired of paying up for razors that were overpriced, overdesigned. They knew a great shave didn't come from lights or gimmicks like vibrating heads or flex balls or handles that look like spaceships, tactics the leading brand has used to raise prices for years. Look, here's the truth about shaving. It comes down to the quality of the blades, people. Nothing else matters. I don't want any of that crap on my razor blade handle. I just want the best blades on earth at the fairest price, and that's what Harry's gives me every time. They bought the German factory that made the finest steel. They gave you the best guarantee in the industry. What more is there? Well, there's this. For a limited time only, Harry's is a special offer for listeners of my show. New customers get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with code WALT at harrys.com. That means you can get a starter set that comes with five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use promo code WALT at harrys.com. Join the millions of guys who've already made the switch. Go to harrys.com today. Use code WALT at checkout to claim your offer. Quick break. I'll be right back.
When it comes to iced tea, don't settle for anything less than legendary. Get a large 32-ounce cup of Bojangles Legendary Iced Tea for just $1. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Listen weekdays to the Atlanta Braves Diamond Report with me, Brad Sinkum, host of the Press Box. We'll update you on what's going on with the Atlanta Braves. Brought to you by Diamonds and Gold Direct, your diamond source, 3124 North Main, Anderson.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented poly-level process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Make your next corporate party or team-building event one to remember with Local Q, featuring a wide-ranging menu of mouth-watering, in-house smoked barbecue, signature craft cocktails, 25 rotating drafts, and hundreds of classic games to play. Local Q is the place to break the ice with coworkers, friends, and family. We'll craft you the perfect menu featuring all the Local Q favorites, whether for 50 people or 250. Local Q has the room for you. Reserve your venue today by visiting localq.com.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
Fort Knox Climate Storage of SC, now offering new lower prices. 10x10 dry storage units, $50 per month. 10x15 units, $60 per month. Roomy 10x20 units, $80 per month. Lowest price of the year on climate control storage units. Summer cleaning, store your stuff with confidence. 24/7 digital video monitoring, fence property and security lighting. Rent your unit online today at FortKnoxClimateStorage.com or call 502-0099.
It's auction time again. Johnny King Auctioneers returns to the Upper State Fairgrounds behind the Greenville Pickens Speedway on Saturday, July 28th at 8:30 a.m., selling farm and construction equipment, vehicles, tools, and much more. Anybody can buy or sell. If you wish to sell, call 554-0929. Visit jkauctions.com for all auction info. Bid live or online from anywhere you have a connection. That's Johnny King Auctioneers, bringing buyers and sellers together at the Upper State Fairgrounds behind the Greenville Pickens Speedway on Saturday, July 28th. Go Tigers!
Filling your prescriptions should be hassle-free. That's where your neighborhood pharmacies, Patrick Square in Clemson, and Corner Drugstore in Pickens take care of that for you. Whether you're filling a new script or transferring from another pharmacy, they'll be glad to assist you in making sure you don't miss a beat. Your medical well-being is priority one with them, so you can rest easy knowing you'll have your meds when you need them. Patrick Square Pharmacy in Clemson and Corner Drugstore in Pickens. Small town feel, big time service.
Road Rage with Walt Zepsula on 105.5 The Roar.
Man, it's a hot one, like 7 inches from the midday sun. Well, I hear you whispering the words and melt everyone, but you stay so cool.
Walt Tip to the Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You know, the one thing I can really have faith in this world is that Nick Saban will remain the most disingenuous blank blank on the face of the earth, and has already proven that again.
What did he say?
SEC Media Days. Saban said, I guess you'll ask about the quarterback controversy. The controversy you, the media, created.
Why is he just so against just playing whoever's best at the time? What is that? I don't understand that mentality. You're a coach. You got him. He recruited him and brought him to his team.
But
he don't want to use him because he don't want to admit that it turned out to be him. It turned out that Tua Tagovailoa was the best one.
Yeah, but he's not going to admit that.
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the thing. Here's the problem with this statement.
Short guy.
I guess you'll ask about the quarterback controversy, the controversy you created. You, the media, created. I'm sorry, Nick. The media created the controversy? Okay. Strange. I thought it was you who pulled Jalen Hurts at halftime of the national championship game. That was us? That was we, the media? We? Did we take a vote on who the quarterback should be in the second half? Or did you bench Jalen Hurts, your year-long starter, at halftime of the national championship game because you were getting worked? But it's the media that created the controversy? Yeah, I mean, you're the most disingenuous clown in the face of the earth. I'm sorry. You just are. I can't believe people let this guy get away with that. How on earth is it the media? How did we, the media, create the controversy? They create the controversy. You were getting your tail whooped at halftime in the national championship game, 13-0, and you pulled your year-long starting quarterback, and the other guy came in, Tua Tagovailoa, and the guy you did not want to play, and saved your bacon from an embarrassing second consecutive national championship loss, this time one that was going to occur by 30 points. And we created the controversy? No, you did that, and you've been far less than forthcoming on what your feelings are in the quarterback position. And so, and for you to question every time somebody asks you about it, why do you think people are asking? Because you're not providing any answers. People are going to ask. They have to ask the question. Saban said, you can ask all the questions about it, but it's still to be determined, right? Yeah, okay. It's still to be determined. And let me tell you something. I have no idea why Tua Tagovailoa went to Alabama. I don't know why his kid brother is going to Alabama. I don't get it. I've not watched the film on his kid brother yet, so I don't know what his strengths and weaknesses are. But I had watched the film on Tua, and I never got it. And I didn't get it when I watched him in the spring, and I didn't get it when I watched him rally Alabama in the national championship game, and I don't get it now that I hear Nick Saban talking about how he's going to choose a game manager, basically, or he may, again, over Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, it's that he wants to control every element, and he doesn't want a Tua Tagovailoa type. Despite the fact Tua Tagovailoa won him the national championship. Remember, Saban was begrudging in at the least in praising Tua Tagovailoa after he won the game. When, you know, everyone from coast to coast, east to west, north to south, knew why Alabama rallied to win, but Saban wouldn't admit it. You know, Saban was talking about, oh, how much better we played as a team in the second half. It was like at the end of a long list before he ever got to begrudgingly giving Tua Tagovailoa any praise. I don't know why the guy's at Alabama. I have no idea. I don't know why he went to Alabama. I don't know why he's at Alabama. But that's the way of the world. He has a national championship. We'll see how it plays out. Tim and Pendleton, sort of on this issue, said, and we're going to continue with the discussion of Dabo Swinney's golf outing. I know it's way too early, but can you compare and contrast Clemson-Alabama if there's a rematch? Just look to the future, a few months, matchups, etc. Tim and Pendleton. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, to me, when Clemson played Alabama last year, the biggest difference was the maturity of the skill position players. Clemson's immature offensive skill position players up against Alabama's mature defensive skill position players. If Alabama and Clemson meet again this year, one of the clear distinctions it will be that Alabama has lost a ton of experience on the back end of that defense. Their entire secondary. All the guys who harassed those Clemson receivers, who made it impossible for those Clemson receivers to get much separation, those guys will all be gone, as will a lot of key component parts of the Alabama front seven. They lost a lot of talent. They had 12 guys drafted. 12. Even for Alabama, that's a lot. So when I think about how Clemson and Alabama might match up, I think this time the T. Higginses of the world, I think the this group of receivers that Clemson has, I think would get the best of the Alabama secondary. Amari Rodgers, T. Higgins, Hunter Renfrow, all this group, I think would be able to take advantage of Alabama on the back end. From a receiving talent standpoint, you know, Alabama loses Ridley, but they have Jerry Jeudy. They still have a lot of receiving talent, whether they utilize it or not. Clemson obviously has receiving talent. I think from a running back standpoint, I think Alabama is the best offensive backfield in the country because of the one player that people don't know about that we talked about who's on my running back list. But I think that depth they have at running back and the fact they have three guys who are all just hammers makes them the best backfield. But I think Clemson is right there. I think Clemson has talent and depth in the backfield as well and has the most explosive player in Etienne. And we're going to get to a discussion of Clemson's backfield in a little bit. I think from a quarterback standpoint, both teams are very similar. I actually think that it just depends on which guys play. But I think Clemson has an edge there in that I think Clemson has two guys who can play, whereas Alabama has one guy that can play, one guy that can't play, and the guy who can't play might be the guy they choose. I think from a defensive line standpoint, I think Clemson is better. I think from an offensive line standpoint, you know, Alabama has made their mark with physical offensive line play, and I think they'll still have that. So, look, I think another matchup with Alabama would be fascinating. And going into it, I would think Clemson has an edge because, again, it gets down to that skill position, the skill position matchups for me. And I think that Clemson has an edge. And again, I don't know if you can trust Saban to play the right guy. Is Alabama not, texture asks, is Alabama not in the same quarterback situation as Clemson with a proven winner starter and a gunslinger at backup? No, because first of all, I don't know who Alabama's starter is. And we really don't know for certain who Clemson's starter is. But I do know this. Kelly Bryant is light years better than Jalen Hurts. He just is. Kelly Bryant is better than Hurts. And now, again, if I knew conclusively that Saban was going to play Tua Tagovailoa, I might have had him number one in my quarterback ratings because that's how highly I think of him. But I don't know that. And, you know, here's the other thing. You know, this is almost a mark the tape moment because it's not just about whether Saban plays Tua Tagovailoa. It's whether he lets him be Tua Tagovailoa. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you have a talent like that and you just want him handing the ball off to running backs, then you're wasting him. Saban had to free Tua Tagovailoa in the second half of the national championship game because he was down 13 points and he was going to go down 30. So he had to just let him play and be himself. But if you're just going to try and rein him in, harness everything he does in, then you're not going to let him be himself anyway, in which case you might as well play Jalen Hurts. So, you know, these are the elements that I can't be sure of in relation to Alabama. But look, I think going into the season, I think Clemson has an edge. If those teams meet again, I think Clemson has an edge. We'll talk about Clemson and about Dabo Swinney's golf outing through most of the first few hours of the show and break down what was said and where I think it was significant. And again, some areas that we want to delve a little deeper into, some other things that we might have asked. We'll talk about all those things and more. Matt, you'll be up first as soon as we get back. Before we get a break, let me tell you about Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca. There's no place like Turner's. There just isn't. Ramona lives there. You know, it's just a different type of jewelry store. It's privately owned. It's not a chain. It's special. And they treat you special. They don't care whether you're looking for a $50 piece of jewelry or a $100,000 piece of jewelry. They're going to treat you the same way. They're not pushy. They're just helpful. You know, if it starts with diamonds, if it's time to pop the question and you're looking for a diamond, Turner's is the only place to go. They have more diamonds than everybody else in the upstate combined, and they're in stock. Mark Turner can show you something in your price range, every size of diamond, every degree of diamond. It's right there at Turner's Jewelers. Pandora, they have a Pandora store within the store run by two corporately trained Pandora ladies who know the line inside and out, and that's the hottest thing in all of jewelry, Pandora. And Pandora line keeps expanding. It's not just the modern-day charm bracelet slides anymore. It's that, which is just incredible, and that's what they're most well-known for. But they've expanded into necklaces, earrings, rings, everything. Pandora, just the hottest thing in jewelry, and you can find it all at Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca. Get out there today. I promise you will thank me later. All right, you want in, 654-7627. Matt, you'll be up first when we get back. Walt Diptula, Road Rage, quick break.
Homeowners and landscapers choose EnviroMulch, a locally owned, environmentally friendly company. They supply quality organic mulches, soil, sand, and stone for every landscaping application, delivery, or pickup. Nobody beats their prices. EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boy with a new way to experience the Clemson family like never before. Lakeside Lodge Clemson is a condo resort opening fall 2019 right on Lake Hartwell, just across the lake from Death Valley. It combines the best parts of owning a property on the lake with the amenities of a hotel such as housekeeping, great food, and more. Find out why I'm all in for Lakeside Lodge Clemson at lakesidelodgeclemson.com. That's lakesidelodgeclemson.com.
The Senior League World Series returns to the J.B. Red Owens Sports Complex in Easley starting July 28th, and you could be there. Listen to 105.5 The Roar WCCP for your chance to win tickets to the championships to see tomorrow's baseball stars today.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Monday's pizza and a pint build your own four-topping pizza for $9. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit. Compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
The concept behind the Husqvarna line of automatic robotic mowers comes straight out of nature. The principle of the grazing animal. The grass is cut a little and often. Easley Lawn and Garden invites you to see the revolutionary Husqvarna auto mower. Available in six models for every type of lawn. A Husqvarna auto mower from Easley Lawn and Garden leaves you with a great looking lawn every day of the week and allows you to do other things while mowing the lawn for you. Once you've purchased your Husqvarna auto mower from Easley Lawn and Garden, their team can assist you with getting started. Husqvarna robotic lawn mowers are the number one selling auto mower worldwide, in use throughout Europe for years. Now they're taking the U.S. by storm. Get your Husqvarna auto mower today at Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna dealer for nearly 40 years. Veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online at easleylawn.com.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to announce that KFC's new Crispy Colonel Sandwich is now available in a $5 fill-up. Why? Because who wants to spend $7 on a meal at a burger place when you could spend $5 on a new KFC Crispy Colonel Sandwich, wedges, a cookie, and a drink at KFC? I mean, we specialize in chicken. You need another reason? I didn't think so. Try the new Crispy Colonel Sandwich and a $5 fill-up at KFC today. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
Road Rage with Walt Zepsula on 105.5 The Roar.
Walter Tula Road Rage, Weird WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You know, Dan Wolken didn't waste any time. He wrote a column on Fedora already. Column, if UNC's Larry Fedora can't acknowledge the link between CTE and football, he's too dumb to coach college football and should be fired immediately. I want to explore that whole thing when we get back because I don't agree with Wolken on his essential position here. And again, I'm not exactly sure what Fedora said. We'll explore that when we review Wolken's column. And we'll try and do that a little later today. You want to get in, 654-7627. Let's go to the Northland Communication phone lines and get Matt. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Walt.
Hey, Matt.
Thanks for getting me in.
Thanks for getting in.
I'm not really a fan of these media days. No offense. I think it kind of keeps you guys busy at this time of year. Not the radio station, but media in general. But I had some questions. Football questions for the Coastal. With Marshall coming back for Georgia Tech, do you think his passing ability will get better, his percentage, or do you think it will lessen with those wide receivers gone?
Yeah,
if it gets slightly better, they could win the division.
Yeah, I would expect it to get better. How much better, I don't know. You know, you got to remember, when Georgia Tech throws the ball, they're looking for vertical passing plays for the most part. So they're not playing dink and dime. So you're never going to have a 60% completion percentage passer in this offense, because again, the few times they throw it, they're looking for big plays. So it's, you can't really evaluate it on a standard scale as a result. But Marshall only completed like 37% of his throws last year, and he has to be better than that. And he looks like he's a better passer than that. So I would think that they're going to get better in that area, and they have a lot of backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield now. And I think that'll help him as well. You know, I don't know if he's going to be a 50% passer. I think that's the goal that they would like to hit. I think if Marshall hits 50% of his passes, then I think Georgia Tech will win the ACC Coastal.
I think with the experience for them coming back, he should be able to get close to 50%, because some of those backs that weren't expected to play have experience now. I know the offensive line depth is kind of shallow for experience, but you would think it would be like 3-2, 3-5, a little bit shorter chain, part of the chains on third down for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as long as they don't have any lasting injury at the center position, which I'm unsure of right now, their offensive backfield is as loaded as it's been since the Orange Bowl year. So they have those kind of pieces in place. Now, obviously, you have a new defensive scheme. They're moving to a 3-4. Woody from App State has come in. I actually think that's going to be a positive. Whether it's a positive initially or not remains to be seen. But, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, they would like Marshall to be able to complete 50% of his throws. Because, again, in that offense, if he's completing 50% of his throws, a lot of those throws are vertical, and that means a lot of big plays.
And the other thing for that side of the conference, I hear a lot of people trying to bury Bronco Mendenhall, and he'll be way below sub 500. People saying 4 wins, 5 or 3 or worse. But I think you could probably, if this transfer quarterback does all right, I mean, I think his offense could get going. They could probably go to another bowl game, which could, for that side of the conference, mean pretty decent record.
Yeah, you may have just bumped into our most important question for Virginia, Matt. And we're going to get to that a little later on today's show, because I have a most important question for every team in the ACC.
And this last thing, I know it's not probably up to speed on the week, but you said with U.S. men's soccer, our best athletes are going to other sports. We should model Japan, I think. They were good fundamentals in the World Cup. If we were had any intelligence, we would mimic them. So that's all I had. Thanks, Walt.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the call. Good job as usual. You want to get in, 654-7627, 654-7627. Going back to Dabo Sweeney's golf outing, I thought that I thought Robbie Caldwell was very optimistic. It appeared that a theme that I heard throughout much of the interviews with the offensive staff is high confidence in the offensive line. And Dabo Sweeney expressed that as well. And it's understandable. The line has talent. The line has depth. The line has some continuity. Again, I think there's still a question or two. I want to see Mitch Hyatt continue to develop. And I want to see a bigger, stronger, more aggressive Mitch Hyatt. I want to see the right side of the offensive line. I want to see how the Pollard and Ankrum thing comes together. I want to see how those two guys lock down those positions if they do. And I want to see how they fit. I mean, again, Ankrum does not have a prototypical tackle build, but I think he has the ability to play the position, especially at right tackle. Because, again, early on he was playing, well, he was backing up everywhere, but he came in the national championship game for a series at left tackle behind Mitch Hyatt. And I thought after the first play, acquitted himself pretty nicely. Pollard, I think, is a tough guy who plays with a mean streak. Obviously, he has a great heart with his drive for cancer, but I think he's a – what I saw in film of him back in high school, I mean, I thought he was a tough guy, a guy who played through the whistle. I think he'll fit well on the interior, and I think those two guys are going to work out pretty well, but I want to see it. I'm just not granting that. I need to see it. That's still a question mark in my mind. Bobby and Pickett says, Walt, who do you think will take over after Fedora's fired? I've heard rumor of Kiffin. Would he be a good fit? I don't think so. I think he's too much the same guy. A guy who's very reliant on offense. S-Dub says Mitch Hyatt could not block Legos last year. Hopefully he can this season. I think he needs to play better. I mean, I think that he has the potential. I mean, look, you don't see many guys come into a major college program and start at left tackle as freshmen. It says something about who they are and about how special they are initially. But then it's up to them to continue to play that well. You know, DeBrickashaw Ferguson did that at Virginia X number of years ago. He came in 15 years ago. He came in and started as a 18 years ago. Maybe. He came in and started as a true freshman at Virginia at 260 pounds, which is unheard of. Mitch Hyatt came in and started as a true freshman. And nobody talked about left tackle all year long as a true frosh. And then I think that to a degree, I think he stagnated. I don't think, you know, I thought that he would have blossomed from there into a clear-cut number one offensive tackle in an NFL draft, but that's the part that hasn't happened. And I think those dots still need to be connected. It's not all perfect. It's not all rosy. I mean, you know, I know that we heard a lot of that the other day, but it's not all perfect. There are still some questions. Alabama exposed some of those issues. And I want to see this line and the depth of this line and the continuity of this line. I want to see them come together and how they play. Blake and Liberty says, Brandon Streeter said he wanted the offense to get back to being explosive this year. Well, you know, again, I think that I'm not sure that the offense wasn't explosive, but I think that the problem is the explosive players were young. And they just needed more time to develop. You know, it's just the way it works. It doesn't matter how good you are, how talented you are. You still need to go through a maturing process. Because in my opinion, I still say I think Etienne and Higgins are as talented as any running back wide receiver that I've ever seen at Clemson. But it's up to them to you know, they've got to stay healthy. They've got to continue to work hard. You know, Brent Venables talked about that element of players being motivated and driven and that type of thing. And I'm going to get to that a little later when I talk about what Coach Venables had to say. But there's that. Sam and Anderson said, well, I think there's a pattern there that Crowder and Hearn took a step back last year too. Well, Taylor Hearn didn't think so because he thought he was ready to move to the pro game. I mean, I just think there's still room for improvement there. I think there are still a few questions on that offensive line, and I want to see how it all comes together. But again, everyone has questions. The line certainly has depth of talent and ability. There's no question about that. Ramona, just to change gears for a second, you have a basketball update. Do you
have a basketball notice. Brad Brownell has added two coaches to his staff today. The first one is Marty Simmons. Simmons is the former head men's basketball coach at the University of Evansville.
Yeah, he was at Evansville for a long time, and I think did a really good, nice job at Evansville.
Okay, he's going to be the assistant. He's going to join the basketball program in an assistant to the head coach role.
Okay, that's a big get, and the roots of that aren't hard to understand when you know where Evansville is, because that's where Brad Brownell comes from. So, you know, I'm sure he has great familiarity with Coach Simmons from their mutual past.
And then Buckland. I forgot his first name. Excuse me. Buckland is also joining the staff. Matt Buckland is his name.
Yeah?
Yes, I'm looking for it. Okay. He comes to Clemson by the way of the University of Georgia. He was a four-year player on the basketball team from 2008 to 2012, playing the majority of his career for former head coach Mark Fox. He's going to serve as the director of operations on the basketball staff, with Lucas McKay moving into the director of recruiting role.
Well, again, they're just more solid additions to Brad Brownell's staff. It's a staff that's ever improving, expanding, growing. The whole picture for Clemson basketball continues to evolve in a positive manner. By the way, on my Twitter feed, Lion writes, I don't know, talking about Tua Tagovailoa, he played one half of football against a team that had zero film and no preparation for him. Maybe he'll be awesome, maybe he won't. Oh, no, he'll be awesome, period. The only question is, can Saban hold him back? And actually, Lyon, nothing you wrote there is accurate. Georgia prepared for him. They knew that they had a chance to see him. Clemson knew they had a chance to see him. So none of that is actually right. We'll be right back.
Safely in the Priority One studios, we are WCCP, Clemson Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.